from the earth, Bible teaches us, have some words for all of us. I like good advice. I might as well heed it to the person who is the wisest that ever lived. Amen? My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. How many wants peace? And how many wants prosperity? Amen. Let love and faithfulness, I'm out of the NIV, by the way. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Next verse. What's the first word of this verse? Come on, you guys can read. Then, right? Then denotes there had to be something you did first for this part to happen. Then you will what? Win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. All right, quickly go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. It's talking about faithfulness, never leaving you, and then the favor of God will then follow that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to what? Walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So if you walk correctly and you please God, by default, there should be aboundings taking place in your life. How many want to abound in your life? You want things to overflow inside of your life. And last verse is Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12. And we'll spend the majority of our time in this chapter. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year that he sowed a hundredfold. How many wants a hundredfold blessing in the season of your life? Hallelujah. And the Lord blessed him. I'm going to preach to you this morning on a subject entitled, Favor That Comes From Faithfulness. Favor That Comes From Faithfulness. Why don't you place your Bibles down for a moment, lift your hands and lift your voices, and let's ask God's word to get a hold of our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be in the house of God. Lord, I want to see the people of God prosper. I want to see the people of God advance. I want, oh God, favor to be upon their life. And we ask that you would open up the understanding, oh God. Open up the word. Bring revelation to us, the principles that are in your word. Because if we do so, God, if we unlock the principles that are in your word, God, we should abound more and more. Favor and the blessings of God should be upon us. And that's what I pray would be released right now in the name of Jesus. I release the blessings of God and the prosperity of God and the favor of God, that yokes will be destroyed and the enemy will God and of our Lord Jesus will be rebuked in the name of Jesus, and you would teach us how to walk in the favor and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you believe the favor of God will be upon you, clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. God bless you this morning. The second scripture we read from was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, states that ye ought to walk. Walk is a word that denotes faithfulness and please God. And then there would be a consequence that would result that would take place because of your faithfulness. And the result of your faithfulness would not be might, perhaps, or maybe, but the Bible says that you would abound more and more. Do not let anyone tell you that when you become a man or woman of God, then your life becomes dry and mundane and weak and sorrowful and mournful. That's not the kind of Bible that I'm preaching. I'm preaching to a group of people that if you would be faithful in the will and the favor of God, your life is about to abound like it never has before. The grace and the favor of God desires to be loosed upon somebody that says, I'm ready to receive everything that God has for me. But one first important principle I must teach you in this word is that you have to please God over pleasing man. Amen. And before we say amen a second time, when I say that we must please God above man, that also includes yourself. Because usually when we hear that, we say, yeah, I don't care what nobody else thinks, or I don't care what they do this thinking about me, or sometimes you're in a position where you do care about what people think about you. Well, guess what? It also includes yourself. Because we as individuals can be our biggest hindrances to the favor and the blessings of God upon our life. And the blessings and the favor of God has nothing to do with somebody else that is in and out of your life. The blessing and the favor of God is about what you are going to do in regards to pleasing God or not. Someone say amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Question mark. Or do I seek to please men? Question mark. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You cannot be a servant of Christ and seek to please men at the same time. The Pharisees were usually in a negative place in perspective with Jesus. And one reason why is found in John chapter 12 and verse 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Every one of us must get beyond what we think people think about us. What is most important is what God thinks about us. So long as I'm pleasing God, I don't care what you think about me, honey. So long as my eyes are focused on my King and my Lord, it don't matter what you got to say about me, because my goal is to please God and not men. And that what must happen in the house of God for your own life in a personal manner. You got to be somebody that says, God, for you I live. God, for you I die. Oh, I can get more hallelujahs than that. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord placed it upon my mind to talk about to this church about favor. Many times we hear in church, we hear things and we say amen to them, but we may not fully comprehend what it actually means. If I ask any of us in this house right now, who wants the favor of God upon their life, we all would do what? But if we don't even know what that really means, and I'm going to be honest with you, we can feel that church is a place of happy, shallow, empty words and nothing more, because we have not yet seen or gained the favor of God for ourselves. We hear about it and we shout about somebody else's testimony, but when we go home, we see it's all messed up. It's full of problems, full of turmoil, full of cycles. I tell you why. Because we're not looking at the favor of God from a biblical perspective. We are looking at the favor of God from our own natural concoction of what we think the favor of God is. And when you don't understand a biblical turn about something, then you could be walking in the middle of something that God says you're in it and not even know it. Some of you here right now, you don't even know the favor of God is upon your life. And so you don't want to clap your hands. You don't want to say hallelujah. You don't want to get jiggy with it in the Holy Ghost because you think the favor of God is not upon you because someone has not taught you the word of God correctly. But I'm here to tell somebody that there should be a praise in every single one of us, because I'm going to show you how to have favor even in the middle of a storm. I'm going to show somebody how you might be going through hell and high waters, but yet you know you got to praise God. Because in the middle of you still say, devil, I'm still favored by God. In fact, sometimes the favor of God is shown in the middle of my trials. Oh, I'm going to preach this thing whether you agree with me or not. Because there's somebody in here, you've been depressed for too long. You've been oppressed for too long. And God is saying, I have my hand upon your life. I favored you. Tell your enemy he's a liar and that I'm favored of God. And favor might not be fair, but I believe
even the word of Almighty God. And so before the Spirit, before the service is over, the spirit of worship, I pray, will get a hold of every favorite person in this house. If you don't praise God, then you don't get the message. But before the service is over, if you got the message, there will be a praise that will rise up in this place. There's going to be a worship that will rise up in this house, because somebody will recognize that light is going to come on. The flip of the switch is going to take place, and you're going to say, I know I'm favorite of God. The hand of God is on my life. You ain't going to keep me quiet. You ain't going to keep me silent. You ain't going to keep me bound down. I know who I am in God. I'm the head and not the tail. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody go leave this place knowing the favor of God is upon them. When looking at this subject, I found that the favor of God was upon individuals, and that by definition, being favored is having grace, the covering, the will of God happening in your life. Being favored is getting a little bit extra. Oh, every time I come to church, I tell you, I think this way, that I'm going to get more than anybody else in that congregation. I remember many times in a prayer room in Stockton, California, that we would go to prayer before we went out to service. We had a massive youth choir, over 30 members. But I remember, I'm going to be more blessed than anybody else in this prayer room, because I'm favorite of God. I want a little bit more. And nobody can force feed that to you. Something has to get inside of you that says, I want to be the one that's favored of God. Something has to rise up inside of your own spirit that says, I'm tired of getting the leftovers. I'm going to be first in line to get the blood. Oh, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. Something has to rise inside of you that you yourself recognizes that God desires to bless somebody. God desires to give wealth to somebody. God desires to heal somebody's mind. God wants to heal somebody's family. God wants to heal somebody's emotions. God is a healer, and he will heal those that say, let your favor fall on me. Please don't pass. Oh, I feel the spirit of God moving already in this house. The favor of God says, I'm going to be in a better place than those around me. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that I don't want you to have favor as well. All I'm saying is, you ain't going to hinder what I'm going to get. And there's plenty to get. I'm not hating on anybody. I'm just saying, I'm going to get mine. And we need some apostolics that will rise up in this last hour and say, I got nothing against you, but I'm favorite of God, and I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my miracle. I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm going to get my strength. I'm going to get my anointing. I'm going to get my joy. I'm going to get the power of God in my life, and nobody goes stop me. But the question is not whether or not he has favor to give, because we all would say that's obvious. Obviously, he has it to give. The greater question is, how do I get it? You see that? When you are focused on doing what the Lord has called you to do, and you are being faithful in that place, I'm going to tell you, by default, you gain the favor of the Lord. And when you get that deep down in your understanding, you will then say, because I am favored of the Lord, because of my faithfulness, all I got to do is keep on walking faithfully to keep on being favored. In the book of Ruth, we find that Ruth left everything, went with Naomi, And then the Bible says when she first got there, she went from morning until evening working and reaping of the field after the reapers came. And the key ingredient in that scenario was that she would have missed Boaz if she left early. If she didn't keep working and plugging away, and she might have felt like, I'm all by myself. I don't see things getting any better. But you know what she did? I made a decision. And when I make a decision, I'm going to stick to it. And when God sees somebody stick to a decision that they made, he'll send a Boaz your way. And a Boaz is somebody that's going to bless your life and say, I know you didn't do nothing but be faithful. But faithfulness is what will get you some favor. When I think of favor, I think about Noah, who found favor because when everyone else was doing their own thing, he was found faithful to God. I think about Joseph, who stayed faithful no matter what his environment he found himself in. I think of Hannah, who even when there was chaos around her, when she was being ridiculed all around her, she stayed faithful to going in the house of God and keep on petitioning and calling on the God. Even when her answered prayer did not happen immediately, there was something about faithfulness that God saw and said, I'm going to bless your faithfulness. And because she was faithful, the favor of God came upon her and she had Samuel. There are more, but I'm just putting your consciousness on the word of God that gets you to a point where you say, I understand that favor is connected to faithfulness. And if you feel like you're not being favored, maybe there's a problem with your faithfulness. Now allow me to talk about mindsets and attitudes, because your pastor is big about mindsets and concepts and attitudes in our mind. The Bible lets us know that Jesus shows us where favor comes from. If you're going to be favored, you have to have a mentality about where that favor comes from. Because you're going to be put in positions where people think that your storm is proof that you're not favored. But you're going to show them that I know I'm favored, because so long as I'm in the will of God, I'm favored. That's what I'm going to tell somebody here today. You might think that there's problems against you, but so long as you are in God's will and God's stead, you can stand with a square shoulder and say, I'm favored of the Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 29, and he sent, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. So long as I'm pleasing God, my life is favored. That's why I do miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm not walking in my own purpose. I'm not walking in my own will. I'm not walking in my own plan. My favor is because I'm doing the will of God. If you're doing the will of God, there goes your favor. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, and verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What just happened? He was baptized in the Jordan River so that all things would be fulfilled as a sign that this is the one that has been ordained as the promised Messiah. John chapter 5 and verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doeth, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He's saying, you know what my connection is? You know why I'm all that in a bag of chips? You know why I'm walking in favor and walking in anointing and walking in the blessings of God? And there ain't no devil that could stand up against me and no opposition that could stop me. I know that I'm walking in the favor and the will of my God. Your confidence will come when you surrender yourself that it ain't my will, God, but it's about your will being done. And the Bible says in verse 30 of the same chapter, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will. You ain't favored if you're doing your own will. You ain't favored if you're going about your own business. But at the same time, you are favored if you're doing the will of God. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? He says in John 8, 28, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Stay with me. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not let me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Hear me. Favor is not an accident. Favor is a mindset. Favor is not a spot on the calendar to finally, I reach favor one day. That's not it. Favor is a position. Are you listening to me? Favor is not one specific moment that unfolds in your life. Favor is a covering over your entire life. Pilate saw Jesus, and Pilate came to Jesus, and Pilate questioned Jesus, and Pilate came to Jesus with an attitude, why don't you speak up to me? Don't you know that I have the power to release you? And Jesus says, no, you misunderstand what's really going on. I'm in the will of God. Even though you think you're about to crucify me, no, I'm laying down myself. Jesus was saying, it ain't the place I'm in, it's the position that I'm in. So long as I'm in the position of being submitted, oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I hope I'm not preaching too deep this morning. I don't care how bad your storm is. I don't care you're carrying a cross and there's dark clouds rising up against you. You can tell every pilot in your life, I'm in the will of God. And though agony is in my midst, I'm still, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. Those storms are all around me, I'm still walking in the will of God. Though problems are all around me, I'm still favored. Pilate, don't you get it twisted. Some people think tragedy in your life is a lack of favor in your life from God. I say, on the contrary, the tragedy in my life shows I'm favored of God. Again, change your mentality. Jesus said, Pilate, you don't got no power at all. I can call down legions of angels right now, but I ain't gonna go to do it because I'm walking in the will of God. I don't care what you're facing right now. I don't care what storm you're in right now. In your storm, you still need to know I'm favored. Yeah. The devil's trying to lie to somebody and say, God has forsaken you. God has abandoned you. And he's trying to pile all these thoughts in your head on why you're not walking in some place. I'm going to tell you right now, the onslaught, if you're in the will of God, you're favored by God. If God put you where you are right now, you can shout right now. With a message of you can say, God, thank you for where I'm at. Because favor is not a place. Favor is a position. I am favored of God. Everywhere I walk, I'm favored. Everything, y'all ain't thinking like I do. I'm trying to transfer this to somebody and say, I'm just favored. It don't matter what the environment looks like. I'm just favored by God. I'm going to break it down some more to make sure everybody gets this thing. Because I'm favored, I can be okay with the will of God no matter what environment I'm in. In other words, it's when we miss, most of us miss it. I'm not going to allow my environment and my situation be what determines whether or not I'm favored. Too many people are basing whether or not they're favored on what their bank account looks like. Too many people are saying or trying to recognize whether or not they are favored depending on how their health is. Whether how many prayers have been answered in your life. And because sometimes it's not always the timing of God, right now you're in a position where the devil lies to you, say, see, you're not favored by God. You're not favored by God in the famine that you are in. But I want to tell somebody, I'm going to allow my position in God, in the word of God, to be what determines my favor. I can be broke and still tell the devil, I'm still favored. Oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I can be sick in my body and still wake up and pray. Because I'm still favored. I can have backslidden children and an empty church like today, but I'm still favored. I don't base my favor on my environment. I base my favor on who God says I am. And when I base my favor on the right things, I can praise God in the middle of everything. I can praise God in sickness. I can praise God in darkness. I can praise God when I'm hurting. Why? I'm still favored by God. Can we go a little bit deeper? There was a man named Isaac who was the promised son of Abraham. The beginning of what God is about to do in an organized fashion in humanity. And Isaac is going to help me illustrate what the Lord wants us to grasp this morning. The text will be in Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse 1 is very important for us. There was a what?
I want that to sink in.
Too many people get in famines and they lose their faithfulness, their consecrations, the dedications, their commitments to God. And there was famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So here we go again. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto a place called Gerar. So here was the promised child of Abraham. Automatically, that shows the favor of God, does it not? I mean, you were born when your father was 100 years old. Look how old Brother Wheeler is. Can you imagine him having a kid? And you still got 20 more years to go. So when he looked at his old daddy, that's my old daddy right there. I'm a child of favor. I'm walking, living proof of the favor of God. Every morning you got to get up and say, I'm walking, living proof. See, y'all don't think like that. I'm trying to help you think like that. Every time you wake up and there's breath in your body, you just say, I'm walking, living proof of the favor of God. I don't have everything in my life, but I'm a child of promise. It don't matter. The promises of God are yea and amen. And if God brought me here, then he go take me there. And so what's happening in my now ain't going to stop what's going to happen in my future if I'm favored of God. I might be in a famine, but I'm still the child of Abraham. And God had already spoken. So what am I holding on to as a child of favor? I'm holding on to the spoken word of God. Is there anybody here that has a word from God? If it don't, let me give it to you. Everything gonna be all right. God go make a way. God go show up. God's gonna do it. So a famine was there, and he felt, well, maybe I need to leave the place that God spoke to my father about, because I am in a place of unfruitfulness. Being favored didn't mean there wouldn't be difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances happen to us, so then we say, well, I must not be favored. So there's no reason for me to dedicate everything to God, because it's a waste of time. And here's the proof. Look at my life. I'm a child of Abraham, and yet I'm walking in a what? Famine. So he said, maybe I need to leave the place that God planted me. I hope you're hearing me. But then the Lord showed up in verse 2. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Don't go back to the place I brought you out of in the middle of your famine. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place for somebody right now. Because God has brought you so far. But after he's brought you so far, you come into some seasons of famine, and there's a pull to say, maybe I'm not where God wants me to be. Maybe I got to go back to what I used to do, go back to my old way of thinking and acting in the places I used to live. But thank God that God showed up and said, hey, Isaac, I know you're in a battle. I know you're in a storm. I know you're in a fight, and you're in a famine. But don't go back to old places in the middle of seasons. A famine. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Nicholas, look at this next part, verse 3. Sojourn in this land. In the land of famine, God? Yes. Walk in this place. And I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swear to Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give thy seed all these countries, and thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Because Abraham was blessed, now you are favored as well. So a couple of things I want to cover in these verses. Number one, when God favors you, he puts you exactly where he wants you. Number two, when God favors you, you see it's not about being in the popular place, Egypt, but in the right place. Sometimes the place you are in might not feel exciting. Might not feel progressive, might not feel like it's moving or advancing or going places you thought it should go. But don't allow that to confuse you, because wherever God placed you, whether it's popular or not, is the right place. And so long as you stay in the right place, no matter what that place is, no matter if it's in famine, God still has a promise for you, but he will only favor you if you stay what? Faithful in the place he's planted you. Are you hearing me this morning? He could have went to Egypt and not dealt with the current famine. Sometimes you feel like it's hard to be faithful when there seems to be so much famine around me. So many dry places around me. So much lack of momentum around me. Sometimes you feel like it's hard to be faithful when there seems to be no rain, no fruit, no beauty. While at the same time your mind is telling you, why don't you just go to a place where there is no drought? Go to that next place that's hopping and hipping and jiving and doing great things. And why are you staying in a place of famine when you can go on to the other side of town or go to some other place and do some other thing where the blessings of God seem like they're pouring out in a mighty and awesome way? That's what he could have did by going down to Egypt, could he not? But the Lord says, stay in this land. Travel in this land. I will be with you in this place in order to receive the favor of the Lord. You have to know how to walk in places of famine. Did you hear what I said? If God's favor is going to be in your life, you have to learn how to walk in dry places. You have to learn how to walk and praise God when you feel nothing. Come on, somebody. When everything is against you, when things are stacked up against you, when it's easy to walk away and throw in the towel, that's the place that God is saying, do you want my favor? Then go through the famine, go through the trial, go through the hurts, go through the pain. But in that place you travel, I swear to you, I'm going to bless you. I swear to somebody, in the name of Jesus, it will be your faithfulness that will bring the favor of God upon your life. God says to him, in the place of your famine, I'm going to make you great. Why is that so important? God is saying, you go nothing but praise me when I do it, because you know how dry it was. Oh, that's why I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful that we had small beginnings. Oh, but the excitement in my soul, I'm not going nowhere in the middle of famines. Why? I know God go bless here. God go anoint here. Oh, come on, somebody. God is going to do great things in this church. Stay with me. So Isaac obeyed. But what then happens when the favored person falls? What happens when the favored, once obedient person falls down, makes a mistake? That's the next question we have to address. Verse 7, and the men of the place asked him, the place that he obeyed God and staying at, of his wife. And Isaac said, she's my sister. For he feared. He was in a place of obedience and yet still had fear. Let me tell you, sometimes you can be obeying God and still have fear. You can be walking in the will of God and still have issues in your life saying, God, can you work this thing out though? I'm trying to be obedient. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to my old ways. But in this place, it seems like there's some things that I'm afraid of. And he said, lest the man of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. So in his obedience and staying where God wanted him, he still fell into sin that had been in his family line. You see, the sin that he fell into was not original with him. His dad did the same thing. And sometimes in your desire to walk in obedience, there's some generational issues that you have not yet broken. You're trying to walk with God. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? You're trying to be obedient to God. You're trying to be led by God. You're trying to walk in faith. You're trying to walk with courage. But it seemed like some past thing from your generational line continues to come back and haunt you. And the question is, how is God going to treat you when the favorite falls? And many of us think that when the favorite falls, they should be cast out from being favorite anymore. I want to tell you, that's not what the book says. And it came to pass when there had been a long time, that Abimelech, king of Philistines, looked out the window and he saw, behold, Isaac was sporting with his wife, or caressing his wife, or making out probably with his wife. But the king thought that was his sister. That's not okay, even in those lands, to be doing stuff like that. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is your wife. How saidest thou, she's my sister? And Isaac said, because I said, lest I die for her. I'm favored, but I'm having a hard time of giving up myself. I'm favored, but I'm having a hard time of not being selfish or prideful. I'm favored, but I'm having some difficulties that I have not yet been able to break. Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done to us? One of the people might lightly have lied with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall be surely put to death. So your mistake almost brought a curse on somebody else. Even though you're favored, are you still with me here? Don't let me lose you. We find that his sin was found out. His mistake was revealed. What he tried to hide, Brother Wilson, could not be hidden anymore, because your sin will come out. Your sin will be brought to light. Your sins will find you out. Abimelech said, how are you saying she's your sister? He says, well, I don't want to die, because even when I'm walking in the place where God called me to walk, I still got some struggles in my faith. Even when I'm in the place where God has called me, there's things and issues inside of me that I've not yet been able to conquer, even though I'm walking in the will of God. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Yes, Lord, I'm trying to walk with you, but there's this one thing I'm afraid to go in. Lord, I'm in a place where you want me to be. Oh, God, but there's something I'm afraid of that might not turn out right. I feel as it was saying, I'm going to have to handle this thing myself, because God, I don't think you realized what type of situation this one is. See, Isaac trusted God to a point and said, God, I got it from here, because you don't understand these Philistine people. and they'll kill me even though I'm favored. So God, you hold me here, but let me take care of the rest. And God is saying, you're missing the point. I'm going to show you how you're favored. Even when all the enemies are around you, I'm still going to keep you. I'm still going to protect you. My hand is still on your life. And God is trying to bring us to a place. I know you got insecurities. I know you got struggles. And you're trying to fix those things first. I tell you, the only way you fix them is looking up to heaven and saying, God, I'm walking in your will, but I still got issues. I'm walking towards the things of God, but I got some things I have not conquered yet. God wants us to still be open and real and say, God, there's some things that I can't fix myself. I got some things that I don't know how to break myself. I got some things I can't loose myself. But God, if you brought me here, you gonna help me loose them. God, if you brought me here, you gonna help me be delivered. God, if you brought me here, you gonna bring me out of this thing. Now, you would think things would turn at that moment. But to the surprise of Isaac, he found out that what he was wrong about and the people he thought would have killed him actually said, no, you would have brought guilt upon us. Now hear me right now. In other words, Isaac, your worst case scenario that had hindered you to being open and honest would have never even come to pass. It would have been better for you to simply just trust God. Too many of us have all these, and we concocted these worst case scenarios in our minds, when in actuality, they would have left her alone. You're building up all these scenarios in your minds that cause you to be so fearful and afraid and so passive because you're thinking worst case scenario. And majority of the time, none of those things are even going to happen. Are you hearing what I'm telling somebody? I'm trying to teach you some things. Now watch what happens afterwards. Pay attention to the next verse. The Bible says in verse 11, this is right after he failed, right after he sinned, right after he lied. Watch what happens. The Bible says in the middle of this situation, in the middle of this scenario, then Isaac sowed in that land. You know what Isaac said? I know I messed up. I know I failed. I know I messed up and lied and did things that were not in the right of sight of God. But because I'm favored, I'm going to keep on sowing. What is he saying? Don't give up after you made a mistake. Keep on doing what God has called you to do. Isaac said, I'm going to sow after my mistake, after my error, after my blunder. I'm still going to trust God. It didn't say Isaac sowed in the land, but he sinned 5 minutes ago, and so I'm not going to bless nothing. You better hear what I'm telling you right now. The Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody right now. Too many people hit the pause button in your spiritual life because of your past. You're stepping in the place of God, and you're saying, God, you can't bless me. I made a mistake. I can't sow, I can't be faithful, I can't sell out, I can't be consecrated because I've lied. I messed up. I can't sow, and not only can I sow because I sin, I can't sow because I'm in a famine. I got two things stacked against me. I'm going to sit there and fold my hands and just see what happens. I'm trying to teach somebody about the favor of God this morning. What Isaac understood is, I know there's a famine and I know I messed up, but I'm not going by myself. I'm going by his word. If he told me to walk in this land and travel in this land, I might have messed up. I might have made a blunder of things. I might have made huge mistakes that could have affected a whole bunch of people, but I'm not going to stop being faithful. I'm going to keep on being faithful. I'm going to keep on sowing. I'm going to keep on doing what God called me to do. I'm going to get up. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for I shall arise when I sit in darkness. The Lord will be a light unto me. God is trying to give somebody a light of hope that says, I already promised you. I've already favored you. Again, too many of you, you don't know your favor, so you won't raise your hand. Isaac said, I know I'm favored, so I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to sow my seed. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be a part because I am favored by God even after my mistake. in the same year. The same year of what? The same year of his failure. God bless him 100-fold. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. How many of you have had struggles this year? How many of you have had mistakes this year? How many of you got some strongholds on your life? I'm excited because not next year, but this could be the year of you advancing in the middle of your worst time. For the Holy Ghost, there's some people that are ready to throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel because you messed up. This might be your greatest harvest ever. Why? You're a favorite of God. God's about to increase some. Somebody right now would believe the word of God. I'm favored. We go push. We go breakthrough. Somebody's getting delivered before the service is over. I refuse to stop until we get our breakthrough. His first faithfulness and willingness to sow seed after failure. Sow seed in the middle of a famine. It would better to wait for a better moment. Wait for a better season. Wait till everything is lined up. Wait till the grass is ready to go. The ground is all ready. The water is just right and everything is flowing right. Then plant your seed. And God is saying, I'm trying to show you my favor. I'm going to show you that in your darkest hour, I'm going to bless you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? It's your darkest moment. It's your hardest season. And God is saying, yep, that's where I want to show you your favor. Yep, that's where I want to show you your mind. Yep, that's exactly where I want you to be. You're all messed up, but go ahead and sow your seed, your favor in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your darkness. That's where I favor you. The Bible says, I did not come to seek and save that was well. It's a sick folk I want to touch. It's a sick folk I want to help and heal. Favor isn't just receiving the rewards for the perfect. And that's what most of us think it is. Temporary setbacks does not mean automatically you're a quitter. Are you hearing what I'm telling some of you? Some of you have had temporary setbacks. So you say, well, forget it. No. Don't say forget it. Temporary setbacks is a ready for a comeback. Temporary setback says that I can get up. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy that if I failed, I'm not favored. I want to tell you, devil, I'm favored even if I fail. Devil, I'm favored even if I'm in a famine. I want us to look the devil in the eye and say, I'm favored of the Lord. Favor was on Peter, and Jesus said this. Let me give you some insight. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. My first question here is, why does Satan want Simon in the first place? The obvious answer is because he noticed Peter walked in revelation. Peter walked on the water. Peter seen Jesus transfigured. Peter saw and was in the room when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. Peter had great experiences with Jesus, and it would have been good to take care of somebody who had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, you just might be favored. If you're favored, you just might be somebody the devil's trying to take out. If you had a real experience with Jesus, then like Peter, Satan wants to have you. If you've had connections with the master, then Satan wants to take you out. Are you hearing me this morning? Don't fret. The master has already prayed for you. But the master didn't pray just any prayer. The prayer we would have prayed after we had knowledge that Satan wants to sift us as wheat is say, Lord, block him. Lord, don't let Satan have allowance. If Satan's after me, God, and you know it, then move him out of the way. But Jesus said, but you're favored. So when you're favored, I got to pray differently than how you thought I should pray for you. I'm not praying directly for favor for you, Peter. I'm not praying that the challenges and the temptations be removed, Peter. See, you want God to say you're favored and then remove the challenges. You think favor means there's no temptation, there's no issues, and everything is hunky-dory. And God says, that ain't the favor of God. I got to let you go through some stuff and still bring you out. And then you can't help but say, I got to be favored to get out of. Oh, don't hear me. I've got to be favored to get out of what the mess I was in if it had not been for God who was on my side. But if he's on my side, I can go through a trial. If he's on my side, I can go through a storm. If he's on my side, I'm going to be all right. I am not even praying and telling Satan that he can't have you. I'm praying that your faith would not fail you. You know what God is saying? I'm going to allow his attack to go ahead and happen, but his attack ain't gonna take you out so long as you stay faithful. Now watch what happens. Peter says, God, you're wrong. I would never leave you nor forsake you. I would die for you. And Jesus gave him revelation. No, you won't. In fact, you're gonna deny me twice before the rooster cries out three times. And when they got there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Judas showed up with a betrayal kiss, we see Peter stand up to his word. We missed this part. Peter was there. Peter stood up and Peter got a sword and Peter swiped off his ear. You don't cut somebody's ear off on purpose. You were going for their head, but you missed. But here's the problem. Jesus, I did fight for you. But what did you say, Jesus? You offended me. You said, Peter, put away your sword. But I told you I was going to fight for you. And now you go call me out and rebuke me when I'm trying to help you? Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Come on, you're going to correct me in my zeal? You're going to correct me in my passion? I was trying to do the right things and I'm being rebuked for it? I'm going to stop being faithful then. Because if you ain't going to acknowledge my motive, then there's no reason for me to be faithful. And many people have been like Peter that have got offended in church because people misunderstood what you were trying to do. So Peter was offended, and that's why he stayed back. And when it came time to be identified with Jesus, I'm offended at Jesus. I don't know Jesus anymore. I don't know how to pray anymore. I don't know how to worship anymore. I don't know how to give anymore. I've been offended by God himself. So Jesus lets it be. And Jesus then is crucified and is resurrected. But Peter says, after he sees Jesus, I'm going fishing. A dead person that was crucified is now resurrected, and you are questioning going back to your old lifestyle. There are people here, you are debating whether or not you want to go back to your old lifestyle or not, even though you know he's your Lord and resurrected Savior. But Jesus made sure that he showed up on the shores of where he was. That's what I like about Jesus. Even if you don't go where Jesus is, Jesus will go where you're at. Jesus understood where Peter was. And so I'm not always going to wait for Peter to show up to me. Sometimes Jesus says, I got to go to you. You're not as strong as you used to be. And I can sit back here in a holy mindset and say, who do you think you are? That ain't the God that we serve. We serve a God that says, I'm going to go exactly where you're at. You're struggling. You got issues. I'm going to be where you are. And I'm going to ask you, do you love me? I'm going to remind you of who I am in you. And now, who is the one that preached the the first message on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter. Peter said, I must be favored. And so I got to do all that God called me to do. I know I had a mistake. I know I had a blunder. Is there anybody here? God still wants to use you. God still wants to anoint you. God still has a plan for your life. God still says, you made a mistake, but you're still favored. You made a wrong turn, but you're still favored. You made a mistake, but you're still favored. I got to bring it home. Go back to Genesis verse 13, 26. I got to remind you, favor has nothing to do with the environment, but favor has to do with the ability to be successful no matter the environment. To the majority of us right now are in bad environments. If people knew right now what you're going through in your home, if people knew right now what you're going through when you leave the house of God today, the battles that are happening in your household, the spiritual attacks that's attacking you and your family and your mind, the temptations that are coming your way, and it seems like that you even sometimes have said yourself, I can't make it in this environment. I got to take you to Isaac that says, I'm a living witness that God can favor you even in the worst environments. Genesis 26:13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. When you know your favorite, people are going to envy you. People are going to talk bad about you, hate on you. Don't be surprised when it happens. That's the problem. We act surprised when God begins to favor us. And even in your own household, you get opposition because they say, who do you think you are? Are you some holier-than-thou person? And you say, no. I'm not trying to be holier-than-thou. I'm just seeing the favor of God is happening in spite of you. You might be a thorn in my flesh, but God is still blessing me. That's why I got to keep on being faithful, because I won't allow my environment to stifle the blessings of God upon me. Can I tell and preach to somebody here, you're going through a bad environment, but I'm here to tell you, God sent me to tell you, I'm still going to favor you in the worst environment that you are in the worst place you're in. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to increase you. Will somebody grab a hold of that right now? And he was envied. So the last thing I got to make sure I tell you is, how do I handle favor? Because I can get that I'm favored, but if I don't know how to handle my favor, I can mess up my favor. People begin to envy him. The immediate thought is to take advantage of it. Use the favor of God to fight against all those that don't like me. But when you are favored, you know, I can handle things like Isaac. Verse 15, for all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped and filled with the earth. I'm trying to be favored, and people keep trying to stop it up. I got the flow of the rivers of life in my life, the wells. The Bible lets us know there's a connection to the spiritual world, and somebody is always trying to clog up your well. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying right now? You're trying to grow and advance, and people keep putting dirt in it, putting bad things in it, keep trying to mess it up. And you know what most people do? You try to fight back. Let me tell you, when you're favored, what you don't do, you don't fight back. You know what Isaac did? Isaac would move on. You want to know why he moved on? If I'm favored, there's always going to be another well for me. See, too many of us are fighting battles we don't have to fight because you don't know you're favored. And you think you got to fight for everything that you have. And God is saying, you don't got to fight the battles mine. Move on to the next shop. I got more favors still for you. My favor ain't going to run dry because somebody else is trying to clog it up. You just know you're favored. So when you know you're favored, I don't got to fight you for that. God going to bless me again. And you go stop that up and God going to bless me again. Is there anybody here that says, I'm just blessed. I'm not going to fuss and fight and cuss with you. I'm not going waste my time, Isaac said, because nothing you can do can stop the blessings of God. That's what a mindset of a favored person is. No matter what you bring my way, I'm still going to get a new well after the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't care what has dried up in your life. I don't care what the enemy has tried to dry up in your spirit. When you know you're favored, keep on digging. What's the message? He kept on being faithful. Come on, somebody. Keep on digging. Keep on worshiping. Keep on giving. Because the blessings of the Lord are upon you. Verse 22. And he removed from thence. He digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of that well Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I don't got to go outside the will of God, even though I'm getting opposition in this place. Because if I keep on being faithful, that's where I find my favor. If I keep on being faithful, I'm going to myself be able to say, the Lord has made room for me. Too many of you are frustrated because you feel like you're in tight places. Keep on being faithful in your tight places. And God's about to show up and make room for somebody. If you believe that, raise your hand right now. And say, God, I've received the favor of God. I'm not going to stop being faithful. God's about to unlock something. God's about to move something. God's about to shift something. Am I preaching faith to somebody in this house? Is there anybody getting excited with the word of God right now? I prophesy and say, room is coming towards your way. God's about to make room in your territory. But you got to stay where you're at. You got to stay faithful. You can't run away. You can't get bitter. You can't get quiet, but right now you gotta praise in your famine. Right now you gotta sow seeds in your famine. Hallelujah. I want you to stand on your feet. When I'm favored, I don't have to feel like I have to do it on my own. When I'm favored, I don't have to force things. I don't have to manipulate. Stop me manipulating stuff. Isaac didn't manipulate nothing. He was favored. I'm just going to move. God go work it out. Stop trying to fix your spouse. Stop trying to fix them. Keep your eyes on God. God go work it out. Don't artificially create nothing. Don't beg people to be a part of what God's doing in you. Right. Amen. Going back to Ruth. Many people, many men passed her by and didn't see her value while she was being faithful. Everybody's not going to see your value. That's okay. They're not your Boaz. But if you keep on being faithful, your Boaz, your miracle, your blessing is going to come to you. I know some people might overlook you and oversee you. Don't worry about them. They're not your Boaz. God has a Boaz for somebody. God has a roof for somebody. But that's when you are faithful. I close with this, verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Huzith, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. It looked like a battle was about to ensue. It looks like a battle is about to happen because you're favored of God. So Isaac said to him, why are you coming to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you? Now, you know when you got an enemy coming your way and start heading your direction, you get a little bit defensive, do you not? So did Isaac. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. No matter how much we tried to take you out,
No matter how much we try to bring confusion in your life, no matter how much we try to sabotage your life, we saw from a distance it would never work. So I had to come to a conclusion that I was once your enemy, but now let's make an oath together. Because I can't stop what God has favored. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want you to close your eyes right now. Is there anybody that's in a famine right now? Is there anybody that has a place where you feel like you're unfruitful? Is there anybody here that feels like there's an enemy after you trying to cause you to stop being faithful because you believe you're not favored? I tell you, the word of the Lord this morning is you are favored, even in your famine. But if you would stay faithful, stay committed, stay hungry for what God's plan is for your life, stay focused on him and do not be distracted to try to fight every devil, fight every problem, and try to focus your energy on trying to fix things that God says, if I favored you, I'm going to fix it. And this word today is for you. And God's going to make it all right. And God is going to bless you exactly in the environment you are in. I want somebody right now to receive that word. If that's you, lift your hands to God and start saying, God, let me believe I'm favored. Come on, open your mouth up right now. Come on, you're favored this morning. You're favored this morning. Tell God, I'm going to be faithful, God. I might be in a storm. I might be in a famine. I might have enemies, oh God, against me. I might have things going on I don't understand. But what I do understand is I am favored of Almighty God. And I'm not going to allow my faith to be switched around. No. Oh God, you prayed that my faith would not fail me. So right now I grab a hold of the word of God. And I praise and I worship your name. Because in my environment of chaos, I still say I'm favored. And even if I failed at times, if I made mistakes in my past, I'm still favored. And there's about four of you here, maybe more, that you made some grave mistakes. You made some bad decisions. I tell you in the Holy Ghost, it does not change the fact you are still favored by God. Don't stop sowing your seed. Don't stop sowing seeds of worship. Don't stop sowing seeds of prayer. Don't stop sowing seeds of intercession. God still will use you. God still will multiply you. God still will bless you. God still says, I will give you increase. Come on, raise your hand one more time. Lift your hands and your voices right now. Somebody be set free from the lies of the devil. Somebody be set free from the pit of hell. Someone allow themselves to recognize they are favored of Almighty God. I open up these altars right now for somebody that wants to grab a hold of this word again and say, I'm favored of God. That's right, move out of these aisles right now and bless the Lord. Call in the name of Jesus. Oh.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours, I am yours. No.